I feel that I am a cyborg. So, but I never say, "Hi, my name is Neil. I'm a cyborg." I don't say that, but I feel that I am a cyborg. Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Well, it's feeling that I am technology. So feeling that the cybernetics and my organism are united. They're one. And that's how I feel. I feel that the software and my brain are united, and that the antenna, the cybernetic antenna, is a body part, not something that I wear or that I use, but something that I am. So I feel that the union between cybernetics and organism is what makes me feel cyborg. And it's more of a feeling. It's feeling that you are technology.
Huh. And tell me about this. You have an antenna that rises up and kind of curves over your head. It's sort of this beautiful big curve. And as you said, this is not wearable technology. It's actually part of your body. Where and how does it connect?
Well, it's a new body part. It's an antenna, and it looks just like an antenna. Like other insects have antennas. And it comes from the back of my head. So it comes out from the skull inside the bone, and then it goes over the head, and then it stops almost between my eyes. So it's a light sensor, a color sensor that picks up the light frequencies in front of me and then sends these light frequencies to a chip at the back of my head, and then the chip transposes the light frequencies to sound frequencies, and then I hear light through sound waves in my head. So bone conduction allows me to hear the vibrations that I feel at the back of my head. And then each color has a different note, a different sound, and I can sense colors from infrareds, which are invisible to the human eye, to ultraviolets, which are also invisible, and then all the visible ones in between.
So you're saying you can hear colors?
Yes, so I feel a vibration at the back of my head that becomes a sound to my ear. So I hear different notes for different colors. And also there's a internet connection. So I can also receive colors from other parts of the world directly to my head. So it's not only sensing the colors that I have in front of me, it's also receiving colors from other parts of the world.
Wow. What do the colors sound like? Like what does blue sound like?
I have like more than 60 blues, but more or less they're around the C and C sharp blues. They're quite high pitch because the frequency of blue is quite high. So if we could hear color, if we could hear the light frequencies of color, we would hear red as the lowest sound, and it would be between F and F sharp. Then the next one would be orange, which would be a bit higher, and then it goes up. Yellow, green, turquoise, blue, and violet, and then ultraviolet is the highest.
Wow. And what about, you said you can hear colors that are beyond the normal human spectrum, like you can hear infrared?
Yeah, the good thing of perceiving color through an antenna is that you can continue extending color perception beyond human sight. So I sense infrareds, which are usually... This color is usually used in machines or like movement detectors. So if I go into a shop or a bank, I can tell if the alarm is on or off. Because if I hear infrared, it means that there's movement detectors in the room. And if there's no sound, it means that there's no detectors. Also, ultraviolet allows me to know if it's a good day or a bad day to sunbathe. Because if I hear ultraviolet, then I know it's not a very good day to sunbathe. Because it's a color that can damage our skin.
Wow. So I'm thinking just walking along the street, the world must be really noisy to you then, because you're hearing the same things on the street that the rest of us hear, but then you're also hearing all the colors?
Yeah, well, noise is usually unwanted sound. And in my case, the first 5 weeks, my brain detected color as noise. My brain didn't really like the fact that I was hearing all these noises or all these sounds all the time. But then over the months, my brain just got used to it, and it stopped being noise. It became color. It became something pleasant, and it became a new sense. So it's completely normal for me now to hear notes all the time, because everywhere I go, there's color. So I'm always hearing music wherever I look, and it's just become a normal thing, and it's pleasant. I have favorite colors. I like listening to the different cars that go past me, or different people, or walking around the supermarket where there's lots and lots of different notes. So to me, it's pleasant now.
What are your favorite colors?
Well, my favorite color now is infrared, which is the lowest, and it also behaves differently from the rest. It's the only color that I can perceive in total darkness as well. So I think it's my favorite now.
Mm. And what things do you like to look at?
I like looking at usually supermarkets. It's where you can find all types of notes. Basically, there's so many different shades of color, always unexpected in unexpected places. So, and each supermarket has a different melody depending on how you walk around the aisles. And the light usually is very good in supermarkets. It's usually white light, so it makes the colors brighter. So it's actually really like a concert hall, supermarkets.
I think I'm jealous.
Well, you could also extend your senses and apply technology to your body and then sense whatever you would like to sense in a different way or in a new way. So I really think that we could all explore having a new sense now, because we have the technology. It's not too complex to create new senses and apply them to our body. So I encourage you to just explore having a new sense for a few weeks or months or maybe years.
So, Neil, I know I've read that you were grayscale colorblind. Is that how you got started down this path? Was it that you wanted to begin to figure out how to see color, or was this more about the philosophy of wanting to become a cyborg?
Yeah, it's because I wanted to sense color. I didn't necessarily want to see color, because I never wanted to change my sight, because seeing in black and white to me is an advantage. It has many positive things. So, for example, I see better at night than people that see color, because I'm more used to identifying shapes and movement than color, because people that suddenly have no light, they lose a lot of information. They lose hue, saturation, so they see less, whereas in my case, I see better at night. And then also, it allows me to detect shapes easily. Also, camouflages, I can detect if someone is camouflaged, because I don't get the color, so I can see shapes easily. So
you weren't unhappy with your sight?
No, not at all. So I was just curious to sense color, because color is extremely popular and very much used in all subjects. So I felt that this was a social element, I wanted to experience this social element, but it wasn't the fact that I wanted to stop seeing in black and white.
Mm.
So that's why I created a new sense. It's not interfering my sight. These are not glasses that allow me to see things. It's just a completely new sense that allows me to feel color through vibrations that become sounds.
Mm. You're also an artist, and you use your new sense in the artwork you create. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so having a new sense allows you to express yourself through a completely new sense, and that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years. So I create art where sound and color are the same thing. For example, I give a color concert. So instead of playing an instrument, I play color, and I can either play products or socks or faces. So if the audience cues, I can start playing someone's eyes and then someone's lips and then someone's hair. And then I create music from the colors of someone's face. And this, I amplify the sounds that go into my head with a stethoscope so that the audience can hear the colors. And then I create layers of sound with pedals.
Wow. Also, so the audience can hear what you're hearing?
Yes.
And so you could create a literal portrait of somebody's face, say, in sound. So not an impression in sound of what their face makes you feel, but literally what their face looks like translated into sound.
Exactly, yeah. So it's physically transposing the light frequency of someone's face into its sound, and then you can hear it. And that's also the sound portraits, where I just listen to the sound of someone's eyes, lips, hair, and skin, and then I send them an MP3 of their face so that they can hear themselves. And that's sound portraits. Instead of drawing a face, you just send them the colors.
How do people react? Do they like how their faces sound?
Well, Not everyone likes the sound of their face, no, but you can, because some faces do sound a bit clashy. So if you have many shades of the same color, then it creates microtones that create, well, I find it beautiful, actually, when I hear lots of colors clashing, because it creates a vibration and a tension that I actually like. So it's very subjective, in the same way that not everyone likes the same shapes of faces. Not everyone will like the same harmonies of color. But it's always interesting to hear faces, because there's never two faces that sound the same. Even twins sound different. Even the left eye from the right eye might sound a bit different.
Huh. Are things that are beautiful visually, when you hear them, do they turn out, are they always beautiful when you hear them? Or sometimes, I don't know, do you look at a piece of art and say, yes, I can see the art is beautiful, but boy, it sounds ugly.
It happens a lot. Yeah, so what looks beautiful not always sounds beautiful. And sometimes things that look really horrible or really bad sound very beautiful. So there's no relation between shape or objects and color harmony or sound, the sound of the color harmony. So, for example, a rubbish bin with lots of rubbish might sound very harmonic, but it might smell terrible or it might look terrible. And in the same way that someone might look very beautiful but sound horrible or sound very unpleasant, maybe. So it you never know. So that's why it's so exciting, because you see things in a completely new way and in an unexpected way. And yeah, painters become composers as well. So I can go to a museum and listen to a Picasso, to an Andy Warhol, and then it gives me a completely new experience of the painting.
Huh. You know, I'm listening to you and thinking, essentially, you gave yourself synesthesia. Have you ever talked with somebody who has synesthesia and compared notes?
Well, synesthesia is always very independent. Each person has its own color-to-sound relationship. My color-to-sound relationship is completely physical. So it's picking up the light frequencies and hearing the note of each light frequency. So it's never coincided with any other synesthete. Mm-hmm. But in my case, I don't feel that this is synesthesia either, because I never, ever see color. So it's not a union of senses. Because synesthesia is like the union of two senses. In my case, it's the creation of a new sense, because I never see color.
Right. So it's not the mingling of two senses. It's the creation of an entirely new sense.
Yes, and also it's through a completely new input, which is inside the skull, and a vibration inside the skull that becomes a sound. So it's also a sense that I didn't have before, an input.
So I'm curious about how you navigate the world. I'm thinking that, you know, you've got a fairly big antenna curving up over your head. I suppose you've had to get used to a certain amount of staring.
Yeah, that's the second like thing about this project is actually the social reaction of what happens if someone goes out in the street with an antenna.
And what does happen?
Actually, yeah, that's like a social experiment, and it's really well. I don't know. It can be very tiring, because it's the reaction of people can be rude. Sometimes every day I have the same type of reactions. It's either people shouting some things at me, like, I don't know, the aliens are here, something like this, or, Teletubby, or sometimes, I don't know, they shout so many things. I have a list of the different things, or are you going fishing in Italy, they said. I don't know, it varies, but it's always some kind of thing that they shout. And then there's people that just laugh. Or then there's people that ask, and then I reply. And then there's people that know about it. So there's like four different types of reaction, and it hasn't really changed in the last decade. In 2004, people thought it was a light. So they thought I had a light on my head, like a lamp. And then in 2006, they started thinking it was a microphone. And then in 2008, they thought it was like a hands-free mobile phone. And then in 2010, they started thinking it was a GoPro that I was filming my life. And then now, since 2000, 13, 12. They think it's something to do with Google Glass. So it keeps changing.
Well, I would imagine also in this age of terrorism, I mean, nobody likes to... I would imagine in the age of terrorism, you'd also run into problems with people thinking that there must be some nefarious thing you're involved with. I mean, yes. what does the TSA think when you try to board a plane?
Yes, this is also a huge problem. Airport security, also shopping malls, places where they think I'm doing something illegal or something strange. So they do come, security guards do come and just start questioning me or kick me out of places or not allow me in cinemas because they think I will be doing, like filming the film or something. I don't know. They always think I'm doing something strange. And if I tell them that I'm listening to color, then they think that I'm joking. So sometimes they don't believe me. But the good thing is that I have a passport with the antenna. So if I carry the passport, I can show them the passport and then they can see that my official image is with an antenna. So they have to accept me as I am on my passport photo.
Wow. You must have to explain this, I mean, thousands of times. What's the short... By now you must have a kind of practiced short explanation. What do you say?
Yeah. It's an antenna to hear colors. That's how I simplify it. And I say this at least 5 times a day since 2004. So, and yes, it is thousands of times.
And then I imagine sometimes the authorities must say, we'll take it off. Then what do you say?
I can't take it off because it's implanted. And then they either laugh. I mean, the reaction is always either laughter or they just don't accept the answer, and they ask me to remove it, and then I just have to show them, and then sometimes they put me apart in the room, and then they just sometimes they Google, and then when they Google, then they find it sometimes interesting, then they start talking about color and their wife's favorite color, and then sometimes it changes completely, and then they become very friendly.
There's this terrible story I heard about a run-in you had with the police in Barcelona.
Yeah. Well, for the last decade, I've only been really attacked 3 times, so it's quite low related to the fact that I have to avoid some situations like really late at night when people are drunk. I can't walk around a city or a zone where there's lots of people drunk because they will react to the antenna. Also, I have to avoid when schools... when people go out of school, like teenagers, all these types of group, I have to avoid because otherwise I will have a reaction that I don't like. And then other ones are sometimes demonstrations, and these I didn't feel I had to avoid. But in 2011, there was a demonstration in Barcelona, and then 3 policemen came and asked me to remove the antenna because they thought I was filming them, and they don't like to be filmed when they are in spaces where they are active. So I told them that I wasn't filming and they didn't believe me. So they actually pulled the antenna, trying to remove it. And it obviously doesn't come out because it's inside my bone. So it just broke. They broke the sense. And that's the only time in my life that it has actually been broken. The other times were before that, it was just in a bus where they thought also that I was filming. They really got, someone got really aggressive because they thought I was filming. And then another one was even earlier in the border when they thought it was a mobile phone, so they wanted to steal the mobile phone from my head.
Mm-hmm. Did it hurt?
It hurt psychologically. The feeling of, this being attacked was really a very unpleasant.
Yeah. Wow. So you're also a walking diplomat for cyborgs everywhere, I guess.
Well, yeah, I tried to also explain what feeling cyborg is, and I think they will have to slowly get used to the fact that there will be more and more people with new body parts and new senses. So I guess it will slowly become more and more normal to see people becoming technology, because we are slowly merging. Now we will see that there's more and more people. There'll be more and more people wearing technology permanently. So this is just one step before having it as a body part. And I'm sure that once people become comfortable wearing technology, there'll be more and more people willing to have it implanted.
So you're a pioneer in this project of developing new sensory abilities. I'm curious, you also developed the Cyborg Foundation. What's its mission?
Well, in 2010, Moon Rivas and I created the Cyborg Foundation, which is an international organization that helps people become cyborgs. So if people want to have a new sense or a new body part, we help them develop their project. And also we defend cyborg rights, so the right to become technology, and also defend the right to have it surgically implanted, because that's also talking with bioethical committees in hospitals and doctors to encourage them to explore these unions. And then also we promote cyborgism as an art movement and as a social movement. We believe that it's a special interest for artists that want to express themselves through new senses and then create art that has never been possible to create before, art that is created through a sense that hasn't existed before.
So how many, at a rough guess, how many cyborgs do you think there are in the world now?
It's difficult to tell, because I believe that being a cyborg is feeling that you are technology. So you might have a chip inside, but you might not feel any type of connection with the chip. And in my case, for example, I had the antenna for several months and I didn't feel cyborg. I felt that I was wearing technology. I felt that I didn't feel it as part of me. I felt that I was a cyborg after 5 months when I started to hear color in my dreams. That's when I felt that the software in my brain had united, and that's something very internal. You can't really tell from outside if I am a cyborg or not. It's I think it's something internal, a feeling of union between cybernetics and the organism.
So it's a new sense of self.
Yes, it's a new sense of identity. I feel it's at the beginning it was strange, because I felt something new. I felt that the software was me, and that was a really unusual sense or feeling to describe. Also, feeling that you have a new body part is also difficult to describe, but the antenna is like an arm. If someone touches the antenna, I feel it as if someone was touching my arm. If I move it to one side, I feel unbalanced, and it really feels like any other body part.
It's interesting to me. I think about, we have this kind of gut reaction often where we think of a biological human body or an animal body, I guess, and there's a feeling of sort of warmth and affection. And then we think of technology, something, you know, artificially constructed, and that feels to us cold and hard. But you just completely broke down that polarity.
Well, I think it will slowly change, because we've always seen technology as something that it doesn't really belong to us. But technology is a human creation, just like human beings. Humans are created by humans, and technology is also created by humans. So the union between humans and human creation, such as technology, makes a lot of sense. And we will slowly, I guess, accept it more and more as a part of us.
So what other kinds of... what other new senses could people use technology to create?
Well, Moon Rivas, for example, she has the seismic sense. So she feels earthquakes whenever there's an earthquake in the planet. So she has this kind of extra skin on her elbow that vibrates. It's like an intelligent skin that vibrates whenever there's an earthquake in the world. So she's connected to online seismographs, and she's completely used to feeling a vibration on her body whenever there's an earthquake. This gives her a close connection to a natural element. So it's something that happens every maybe 5 or 10 minutes. There's a small earthquake in this planet, but most humans aren't unable to sense these earthquakes because they're very low. There's usually 1, 2, 3, or 4 in the Richter scale are sometimes unsensed by humans. So she actually sensed them, and she's used to the fact of feeling the vibrations every few minutes. Also, there's another sense, which is feeling what's behind you. It's just a simple infrared that vibrates whenever there's someone behind you. So you have a sensor at the back of your head, and you can feel like a kind of 360 degrees. So if you shut your eyes, you can sense the space by just feeling the vibrations. And
wow.
There's several more.
Wow. So the sky's the limit, it sounds like. But what, so in your wildest dreams, I mean, what else do you imagine? And how do you even begin to imagine these things?
Well, I think most of these senses are senses that we can get inspired by nature. If you look at the many animal species and you study what senses they have, we would all really be amazed about the senses that already exist in this planet. So we really encourage people to get inspired by nature and try to apply senses that already exist in other animal species and apply them to humans. In my case, I feel much closer to animals now that I hear colors, because sensing infrared and ultraviolet are senses that are colors that many other animal species can perceive. So it's something natural that other beings are sensing in this planet. Also, hearing through bone conduction is something that dolphins and other animals in the water can also sense. And having an antenna is also something that many insects have. So I feel actually closer to nature and to other animal species now that I become a cyborg.
And so we could look to nature just for some further ideas. I mean, we could think, yeah, why shouldn't we be able to echolocate like bats, or have built-in compasses like birds, or hear the way dogs do?
And in this way, we will find that applying these senses to ourselves is something natural, and it's not creating a virtual reality. It's actually extending our reality to the level of other animal species, and that's what we really are interested about. And there's so many senses that we don't have, and that they already exist. Even things like immortality exists. There's a jellyfish that never dies. So things that we might think are impossible for us to achieve, other animal species have, or they have powers that we would consider superpowers, but they're very normal to other animal species. So that's where we really get inspired from.
So right now, you're a pioneer. I don't think there's anybody else who has your particular sense, is there?
No. I wouldn't think so.
What would it be like if there were?
Well, I would be able to have a very interesting conversation, I guess, because we would be able to share the same world. And this is something that I haven't been able to do. So I would like to meet someone else with an antenna implant, so that we could actually share the fact of having an antenna, also about hearing colors. Because it's a completely different, I guess, culture or something. I have my own sense of humor as well related to hearing color, which I would be able to share with someone that also hears color.
Explain what's funny in.
I don't know. There's many jokes that you can create by hearing color. I would have to think.
I want to know a color joke.
For example, it depends on the language as well. For example, fa is the note. In Spanish, fa is F, which is red. And then so, it's sound. S-O in Catalan is so. So sofa is so if you have a red sofa, to me, it only makes sense to have a red sofa, because in Catalan it means F sound.
Right. Right.
But then there's many, many, many more like this that you can also. Fa sol, it means in Catalan, it's sunny. And the sun is actually sol, which is G, the note G. And then fa is F. Well, there's many literal jokes that you can make with the names of colors and the names of notes and then objects. And I would have to list them.
Hey, Neil, it's we're laughing, but I also have the sense of it must be lonely. Being, you're like a new person on a new planet, and there's nobody who can sense what you can. I mean, you can translate what you perceive, but there's nobody who can perceive the same thing you do.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting. So I do have this wish that there'll be more people, and then we will be able to share the same experiences. And I believe that sooner or later it will happen. So I guess it's just temporary.